it's sometimes said that religion, religious ideas, or ideas of faith have caused many traumatic events in the world's history. And people will say, well, what about the Crusades? Or what about other things that were done, evidently, attached to some name or some perspective about Christ or Christian teachings? And the question is that a... can they be viewed as a logical outgrowth of Christian teaching, or is that a misapplication of Christian teaching? Because it's also very true that many violent acts have been done in the name of atheism. If you're an atheist, if you're an evolutionist, you are Adolf Hitler. You want to purify the human race. You want to remove those who are not like you. You are others who are trying to remove people from this world. Stalin is another example. In the name of atheism, there is violence, and the question is that a logical outgrowth of atheism? And the fact is that a cohesive understanding of Christianity and the Bible will lead not to those acts of horror that were done with a misuse of the name of Christ and a misunderstanding of what the scriptures taught. But if you have started from a place that there's no God, if you have started from a place where there's no moral code, in fact, people will say, well, we can have a moral code. We can have acts of morality. In fact, people will put it in evolutionary terms. You know, the reason that we're nice to each other is because evolution has showed us that this is the way our species survives. But actually, no, that's not what evolution says. Evolution says you beat everybody up to be the last one standing. And the cohesiveness of this worldview, as Mark was starting our conversation, if we're going to be cohesive, then the question is, what worldview is cohesive? On what basis does someone who leaves God out of the equation, on what basis do they have any morality? You need a moral lawgiver. Well, then it's either you're the moral lawgiver, you're God in your own little universe, or there's someone outside of the human race who is ordained that there is a reason to live in a moral way, that has given us a conscience so that we're aware of what's moral and what's not. And all of these things, they cohere together, they stick together, they behave properly when they interact with one another. And that's why we can have a reliance on what the scriptures teach us about how to live in a world that God himself has made once we start from that point.
Last question is the question of destiny. And, the era that is afoot is that when you're dead, you're done. Well, no. Romans chapter 2, verse 6 says, verse 5, after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. To them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. And unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish, unto every soul of man that does evil, of the Jew first and also the Gentile. The destiny of every human being is whether or not we embrace the truth and come to the appreciation of the truth that leads unto eternal life, or we reject the truth, which will lead to eternal judgment, eternal damnation. There are destiny. There are consequences. Mm-hmm. Now, in the last couple of minutes, we want to sort of look back at 2 Timothy 3, and Paul told Timothy, now you have to develop for yourself. You know my doctrine. Paul took these ideas, these worldviews, and he embraced them, and he lived his life, drove his life by them, and he says, you have known my doctrine. You've known my teaching. You need to understand, we have to all have an appreciation of the teaching that comes from the scriptures. And then he says in 2 Timothy 3:14, but continue in the things which you've learned. So it's not just that we can explain it to you this week, or you can, you know, study this on your own and, you know, catch it one time. No, there is a continuance. There is a continuing pushing ourselves to appreciate what it means for God to be the creator, a greater appreciation of what is the purpose, a greater appreciation of how to live righteously. You know, the grace of God, it's going to teach us how to live righteously, soberly, and godly in this present age. And then we all anticipate what lies ahead. But when you go down to the end of the chapter, and this is where we want to probably close on, because this is going to set the pattern for the rest of the week. What did Paul remind Timothy of? He reminded Timothy of, and we talked about just briefly, developing a biblical worldview. What we have to appreciate is the authority and the value of the scriptures. Mm-hmm. And Paul wrapped up chapter three of 2 Timothy by saying, Timothy, you have from a child known the Holy Scriptures. He had been immersed in the scriptures, but the scriptures have to take a hold of you. Mm-hmm. And in the scriptures taking hold of him, he says the scriptures are profitable. Mm-hmm. They are profitable for righteousness, for reproof, for doctrine, for reproof, for correction and instruction in righteousness. Mm-hmm. How do we develop a biblical worldview? It's through a biblical understanding and embracing and understanding one couple of things: the inerrancy of scripture, the inerrancy, the accuracy, and the authority of scripture. Mm-hmm. We have to get back to that. Mm-hmm. Any religious group in our world today who has made declarations and proclamations have at some point, if they're not careful, would have abandoned either the inerrancy, the accuracy, or the authority of scripture. And so that's important. We have to have that. And so it's God breathed, right? Mm-hmm. It's inspired. God communicates to us. He tells us. And then in 1 Peter 19, it says, no scriptures of private interpretation. Mm-hmm. We have the sure word of prophecy that men of old were moved by the Spirit of God to communicate to us God's mind. So the value of the scriptures. The scriptures are so important that the Bible tells us in Psalms that God esteems his word even above his name. The inerrancy, accuracy, and authority of scripture is how we will develop a worldview. It's how we're going to get an understanding of how we're to conduct ourselves, how we are going to live in this world. The subjects that we're going to be taking up this week are very germane to the kinds of things that Paul talked to Timothy about in chapter 3. A world that has completely gone crazy. I read one commentator who said, you know, how is a Christian to live when he's living in Babylon? How are we to live when we're living in Babylon? Babylon is all around us. And if you don't know, understand the imagery of Babylon, Babylon is a culture that was steeped in a idolatrous, sensual, economic-driven world view. And so there was all kinds of evil going on in the likes and the places of Babylon. And it says, well, how do we as believers are we to live given the fact that we are in Babylon? And so we have to be reminded of the importance of the word of God. God esteems his word even above his name. That's in Psalms 138, 2. And then the other thing is, how is it that we're going to be kept? John, the Lord in John's gospel, he prays and he desires and he says, sanctify them through thy truth. Mm-hmm. Thy word is truth. Mm-hmm. If we're going to develop a biblical worldview, the Bible has to be more to me than just words on a page. And I want to just make a little sidebar note with regards to this, because we have Christians and believers of many stripes. Right? We have, you know, and some go by name, some don't go by name, some have ideas, some have, you know, different views. And so when we say developing a biblical worldview, you might find that you come across another believer in the Lord Jesus, but they have a different worldview. And that's because it has to do with the way we approach the scriptures. There are several ways that men and women, you know, approach the scriptures. And in some ways, ideas have consequences. The consequences they draw is because they have a certain view of how the scriptures speak about things. And we're not going to talk about that because it's a very, very vast, very, very big topic. So there might be subtle differences. But as to the four essentials, you will find that those who embrace a genuine biblical worldview will be on the same page about these four things. We might be on different pages with regards to what we should do. You know, you'll have some Christians who think that, you know, we should be politically and, you know, socially minded and fix the world. And there are those who don't believe that. But as far as the understanding and seeing things with that, these four questions in mind, you will find that there are more common ground amongst different believing groups than differences. But there will be differences. I just want to throw it out there. I don't want to give you the idea that it's going to be easy. It's going to take a lot of effort and a lot of work to develop a worldview, to be able to live that worldview and to communicate. But what's important is we have to begin to hold the Word of God in high regard, in high esteem.